So here we are, February, I can't read my calendar, 21 maybe, 22 I think it is, 22nd on a Wednesday night. And we are along the same lines here. We're looking at, you know, we're destroying the magnificence of modern religion, of the, we despise the temple that this all is housed in, and we are destroying the magnificence of religion and what most of the time turns out to be, other than the coffee bars and the parking lots and the fancy schmancy buildings and the music programs and the worship services and blah, 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 we're going after the pastors. And being the fact that I was one, even before we got into the Paul stuff, that somebody needs to go after them, and they're not going to listen to me. So just, I'm just doing this because here's the stuff. I mean, here's the material. And tonight, we just got done finishing Sunday, you know, some scriptures that told us exactly who we were talking about. You know, they don't rightly divide, they have profane and vain babblings, they change the words in the book, they get into the homes of their religion and destroy the faith of others. They love to go after itching ears, and they'll scratch them for them to make them happy. They withstand the words that Paul was speaking. They teach philosophy and psychology and Bible counseling. And they put out a false profession. They're preachers of the wrong kind of righteousness. And they have an authority. They command an authority over their people. And they lead their little groups along by their personalities. And they preach the Great Commission. And the Bible has plenty to say about these people. But tonight, we're going to look at their Bibles. I figured, you know what? Let's look at the Bibles these guys use and see why they say what they say, if they even study their Bibles, which I doubt most of them do. They can buy a lexicon, which gives them the sermons every week. You can get online and buy tons of sermons. Don't have to buy them. I mean, they're just there. You can copy them. And I'm sure people have gone after my sermons and they've just swooped the nation with popularity. I'm sure that's happened. But I can't imagine taking somebody else's notes and sermon and doing that. I just, you know, you can take somebody's notes and you can go through it on your own and you can give it a different flavor or something. You just can't take somebody else's things and just do it. I mean, it's just the weirdest thing. Anyway, and I was just thinking, anytime a missionary would come in, I'd sit in the back of the church there, and I would come up with a sermon. This guy would say something. Wait a minute, that's not right. So I'd be sitting back there flipping the pages, figuring this thing out. And I remember the missionary that came through that taught on, who's the guy in Acts, you know, the Cornelius, the first Gentile saved. And I remember reading those verses and saying, oh, that doesn't say that. So this guy, this is also back in my early Paul days. I had to get braver and gutsier and stronger. And I said to the guy afterwards, I said, you know, that doesn't teach what you said tonight. Cornelius is not the first Gentile saved. That's just not what this is about at all. So I introduced this guy to Paul. And this guy believed, really understood a lot of it, so he says. So we gave him some good chunk of money, and we took him out to dinner a lot, a bunch of kids. I think they had 11 or 12 kids. Remember that family, Bob? And Mark maybe was around for that. And didn't take long. He went to a big church in Idaho and got caught right up back up in the Great Commission because they gave him bigger monies. And you got to go to these churches, and you got to preach what they want to hear if you want to get their support. That's all there is to it. That deputation is not biblical, zero. Exclamation point in bold. That is not a biblical way of going where God wants you to go. Anyway, if that's where God wants you to go, which we know that's not how this operates. Anyway, so tonight, my yawns are quit pretty soon here. I'm going to put this down here. And let's go to Hebrews tonight. And let's look at what their Bibles say to these guys. Let's just assume, which I know is dangerous, let's just pretend maybe that's better. Let's just pretend. Let's go to 2 Timothy first, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy. Let's just pretend that these guys actually read their Bibles instead of just books about their Bibles. But we do know that the books that they do read are based on these false Bibles. I even hate to use the word Bible. You know, these false books that these people claim to be Bibles. And if you've never done this before, you're in for a shock. The first thing I try to get people to do that have come out of the religious world before anything is get a King James Bible and compare it to an NIV or a Message or whatever. But if you've never done that, you just believe what the people have taught you, I highly recommend that you get online and check out these other Bible versions say, because it actually makes people mad. Well, how can they say that? Where'd they come up with that? Although I have to admit, people today don't get mad about that anymore, I guess. We used to sit around in our little basement house in South Dakota when last time we lived here, and we had church in our house. And we'd open up these Bible versions, and the people would go, "Boy, why do they say that? That's horrible. How can they say that?" Really gets them fired up for the King James Bible. But I think that whole thing is probably dead and gone. 2 Timothy 2, I'm going to write these things down as we go here myself. 2 Timothy 2:15, we know what that one says in your King James Bible. And I'm going to, here's what it says in good old NIV. Okay, that's not so bad. As they say, it's one of the more popular ones, right? So it says here, now you've got your King James there, and NIV says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." So what are these guys going to do with that? Well, they're going to show people how to handle the word of truth correctly. And do your best to present yourself to God? Where does that? I don't see that in the King James at all. So there's an illustration right there. Let's see what the Message Bible. I tell you, that Message Bible is something else. Here's what the Message says, and they combine these verses 14 through 18. Repeat these basic essentials over and over to God's people. Warn them before God against pious nitpicking. And you know that they're going to say that we are the ones that are piously nitpicking. That's what you'll see in the Message Bible more than anything here. Which chips away at the faith. They have no idea what the faith is. It just wears everyone out. Concentrate on doing your best for God. Work you won't be ashamed of. Laying out the truth, plain and simple. Stay clear of pious talk that is only talk. Words are not mere words, you know. If they are not backed by a godly life, they accumulate as poison in the soul. Hymenaeus and Philetus are examples, throwing believers off stride and missing the truth by a mile by saying the resurrection is over and done with. What was all that? Basically, concentrate on doing your best for God. Don't be ashamed of what you're doing. And be careful of these pious nitpickers. Like these King James guys, you know, that are out there picking at your Bible. Watch for those guys here. Oh, amazing, isn't it? Let's go to Hebrews. I'm going to just do the Hebrew thing right off the bat here. Let's go to Hebrews, because Hebrews has got the tough stuff here. Let's go to Hebrews 17, or I'm sorry, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, 7. Let's go to that one first here. I suppose I better spell it right here. There we go. Okay, here's Hebrews 13:7. You got your King James there. You know what that Bible means, it references, and that's the verse that people use today for the tribulational verses tomorrow. And here's what the Message Bible says. By the way, the abbreviation for the Message Bible is MSG, and I'm totally allergic to MSG, whether it be food or Bible MSGs, you know. But anyway. Appreciate your pastoral leaders who gave you the Word of God. Take a good look at the way they live and let their faithfulness instruct you, as well as their truthfulness. There should be a consistency that runs through us all, for Jesus doesn't change yesterday, today, tomorrow. He's always totally himself. So take a look at the way they live. Look at the way these pastors, do look at the way these pastors live. I mean, you got lady pastors, you got men pastors, you got queer pastors, you got lesbian pastors, you've got pastors that smoke, you got pastors that drink, you got pastors that won't touch a gun. You know, I mean, there's all sorts. So are they supposed to be our example? Is that what we're supposed to do with these guys? No way. No way am I going to let that happen. These pastoral leaders who gave you the word of God. I wonder what the NIV says on that thing. Let's check it out here. So y'all getting on, y'all know what we're doing here. That's the new century. Let's do the NIV here. I know it's hard to hear things just read to you, but let's check this out here. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider their outcome of the outcome of the way of their way of life. Oh, here we go. I'll read this again. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their life. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Ah, there's that word imitate pops in here. NIV. Isn't that just something? Imitate your pastor's faith. Amazing. Now let's look at 17, verse 17. Let's do the NIV. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give account. Do this so their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. There it is, see. Let's go back to that message. Message Bible is really a wicked book, by the way. Message Bible, here, let's see here. Be responsive to your pastoral leaders. They're all talking about their pastoral leaders, see. It didn't say that there. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Oh, yeah. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? So we can see where these pastors are coming from. By wrongly dividing and wrong books, they see where they are supposed to be the people's authority. And the job of a Christian is to do their best to be approved. You know, work diligently so you can be approved in what you do, and then that's all works. The whole thing is works. Okay, so that's Hebrews 13, 7 and 17. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Here we go. Oh, these are funny. You know, they are funny. If it wasn't so sad, they'd be funny, but they're pretty, it's pretty bad stuff. Verse 1. You crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think they could complete by their own efforts what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Did you go through this whole painful learning process for nothing? Doesn't that just all sound scripturally biblical, the way they write these words in this thing? Let's do an NIV here. Go back to NIV. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning the means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain. So again, I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? Portrayed as crucified doesn't mean that He was. But anyway, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. We like that verse, those set of verses right in there. And let's look here at verse 8. This is a whole little series. Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians 13. There we go. And we'll do this in NIV. Okay, we'll go down to verse... Oh, come on. Where's the verses at here? 13:8. And this is something you'll recognize. This is how they explain this verse, especially verse 10. This is an NIV. One of the popular Bibles, they say. Love, verse 8, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When completeness comes. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. See, childhood and childish, two different ways to apply that stuff. Verse 12. Boy, if I got the yards, I get there. Verse 12. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. For now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So this is why they talk the way they do. They just miss the truth. Ever learning. I bounced out on the kids today because I was teaching about modern music. And I said, we've learned all that we can about music. When the modern era came along, they started pounding on the keys with dogs and cats, and it just sounded horrible. But we've come to now we're getting into the rock stuff, and the New Age has already been around. I said, you give it a little while, we're going to be right back in the Dark Ages. And the kids are sitting there quiet. I think they are interested in all these little seeds I keep planting in that class. And they say, tell me more. I said, no, I really can't do that. But I tell you what, we're going to end up, we're going right back down the drain. We're going to end up right back in the Dark Ages. And I said, I think that's what they're saying. I read that the other day. Somebody's talking about something like that. They don't get it. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, let's go to Colossians. Oh, wait a minute. What does the message one say about this? Maybe it's too long. Oh, yeah, here we go. This is 1 Corinthians 13, 8-13 again. This is in the Message Bible, the MSG Bible. Verse 8, love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Oh, inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding, I think they've already ended, but anyway. Understanding will reach its limit. Really? We know only a portion of the truth. And what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete comes, our incompletes will be canceled. Isn't that weird? When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. Is that what Paul's talking about? When he was gurgling and cooing? When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing them directly just as He knows us. Now listen to this verse. But for right now, until that completeness comes, completeness and perfection, totally different words. We have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God. Okay? Hope unswervingly. Love extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. I know we knew this, you know. But this is what these guys are reading, if they're reading anything here. Let's find another interesting one here. Let's go here to, let's go to Daniel. Daniel 8. verse 25. Let's go to the NIV Bible. Okay, I guess I better go there, Mike and James, here. I can compare them a little bit. Daniel 8:25. Here we go. What does it say here? And through his policy also shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Okay, here's what the NIV says for verse 8, for verse 25. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the prince of princes. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. What a wishy-washy verse. When they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the prince of princesses. And he will be destroyed, but not by human power. Then the same chapter, go to Daniel chapter 11, verse 22. 11:22, King James Bible. 21, I've got to go back to 21, sorry about that. 21. And in his state shall stand up a vile person, shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Here's what the NIV says. He will be succeeded by a contemptible person who has not been given the honor of royalty. He will invade the kingdom when its people feel secure, and he will seize it through intrigue. Intrigue? I'll bet you the Message has a great one there for this one. Here we go. His place will be taken by a reject. By a reject. A man spurned and passed over for advancement. Have you ever called Jesus a reject? They didn't want him, but he was never a reject. We never use that word. He'll surprise everyone, seemingly coming out of nowhere, and will seize the kingdom. He will come in like a steamroller, crushed. After negotiating a ceasefire, he'll betray its terms with a few... henchmen, he'll take total control. Arbitrarily and impulsively, he'll invade the richest provinces. He'll surpass all of his ancestors near and distant in his rape of the country, grabbing and looting, living and with his cronies in corrupt and lavish luxury. Well, the description's probably fine in some ways. It's just not the words Christ used at all. It's amazing, huh? Oh, let's look for a couple more verses here. Let's look here at let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Okay, some of you are that fast. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Okay, I'm looking for it on here. First Timothy chapter. Why did I go to 1 Timothy chapter 1? Where is it at on my sheets here? Let's go to verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. This is where. Get it up here. Oh yeah, teachers of the law, understand that even what they say. Okay. In a. Have we done Daniel 11:21? Did I ever read that one? Yeah, the reject thing. Okay, I did. Let's go here to. I'm just worn out. I'm just worthless tonight. Sorry. Let's look at 1 Timothy. Let's see here. 1:3. What did I say? 1 Timothy 1. Somebody help me out here. Three. Here we go. Here's what the Message says. Look at 1 Timothy 3, neither to get heaved to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, okay, and commandment, okay. Here's what this Message, MSG, demonic Bible says. On my way to the province of Macedonia, I advise you to stay in Ephesus. Well, I haven't changed my mind. Stay right there on top of things so that the teaching stays on track. Apparently, some people have been introducing fantasy stories and fanciful family trees that digress into silliness instead of pulling people back into the center, deepening faith and obedience. What? Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies with mere questions. Yeah, I don't know why they have to do this stuff, but they do. They do. You keep reading down to that thing here, and like verse 8, but we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. And let's do the NIV in this thing here. Wrong one. It's a Reader's Digest version, a Reader's version or something here. Here we go. 1 Timothy 1:3 in the popular NIV. Stay there in Ephesus. 1:3. Stay there in Ephesus. That is what I told you to do when I went into Macedonia. I want you to command certain people not to teach things that aren't true. Aren't true. It's just a, you know, are not doctrine. You have some strong words like that. What's the problem? Oh, let's go to Romans. Now, let's see here. I'm curious. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1:8. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1:8. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. There is a purpose for the law still, but not for us Christians. Okay. No, that's not the one. No. 2 Timothy 1:8. 2 Timothy 1:8. Ah, I'm totally nap of worthless here. 1:8. That's the one I want. Be thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Okay, here's what the NIV says. So do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. It seems close, but when you look at it, it's not, you know. Anyway. Suffering for the gospel, afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, and by and according. Those are those prepositions that if a person studies his prepositions, he sees how more important the word according to the, by the. And there's a difference. There's a deeper difference in those things here. Oh, yeah, here we go. Let's go to Mark 16. Here's a good one. Mark 16. Yeah, you get a kick out of how they put this thing on the computer. See how they do that. I know what they did years and years ago. Let's see if they still do it. Okay, Mark 16:16. Let's go down to verse. Let's go down to verse 8 here. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing because they were afraid. Then we have in parentheses here, the earliest manuscripts and some other ancient witnesses do not have verses 9 to 20. Okay, so from here on out, modern Bibles don't have the place that exposes the Great Commission being done today. And what they say here, footnotes, Mark 16, 8. Some manuscripts have the following ending between verses 8 and 9, and one manuscript has it after verse 8, omitting verses 9 to 20. Then they quickly reported all these instructions to those around Peter. After this, Jesus himself also sent out through them the east to west, the sacred and perishable proclamation of eternal salvation. Boy, they sure watered down that verse, didn't they? Okay. Let's just do maybe just one more here, because I am just worthless with awakeness tonight here. Tussles with strife. Yeah, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's see what that one's like here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go here on this little machine here. 2 Timothy 2, let's go to 23. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Foolish and stupid. The Lord has ways of putting things better, doesn't he? Anyway, here's what I suggest to you if you're interested in this kind of stuff. And little CJ or little big CJ, it is important that you understand the King James versus all these other Bibles issue. It's very important for you to be able to find some verses that aren't the same to show people just off the hand in a restaurant or in a car or something, you know. I'll take people to Daniel 3. I like to take people to Acts 8:37. Which I like to take Acts 8:37. Here, let's look it up in an NIV, what it says, Acts 8:37, because in an NIV it's not there. It says here, some manuscripts include, if you believe with all your heart, you may, the eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Some manuscripts, you get a written book, the actual book of an NIV, the verse won't be there. Just not there. So little Daniel, you need to be able to show these people where their Bibles, what their Bibles really say. I don't think people know what their Bibles say, especially that Message Bible. Oh, that Message Bible. That's just perverted. It's a perverted book here. Let me turn off the sermon here for the webcam.